evening, everybody. Let's all stand. We'll start out with a word of prayer. Brother Foster, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Let's all take your hymn. Let's turn to hymn number 246. 246. Redeemed. Turn over to hymn number 230. Hymn number 230, Heavenly Sunlight.
Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountain, through the deep well, Jesus has said, never forsaking, promise divine, never can sunlight, but in my soul, glory to God.
Thank you. Maybe see you.
I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by his grace I'm free. Now it's different, oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by his blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different, oh, so different. I went to church one day to hear them sing and pray. The preacher firmly plowed the gospel plow. He said, you must repent. So down the aisle I went. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by his blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different, oh, so different now.
I'm sorry.
Since fetter held me fast, the die was almost cast. My proud and haughty spirit would not bow. But just one glimpse of him, it broke the power of sin. Now it's different, oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by his blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different, oh, so different now. And now my hopes are bright, I praise him day and night. How he could change me so, I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done. The victory now is won. Now it's different, oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by his blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different, oh, so different now. Amen.
Well, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight, to have each one of you here with us. And we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24. Some of you have been working in Patch, and so you're going to be catching up with us as we're making our way through. This section that we're in tonight is entitled The 10th, 11th, and the 12th Sermons That Jeremiah Preaches. And we did chapter 23 back the end of April. That was the 10th sermon. Tonight we're going to look at the 11th and the 12th sermon. And so that's going to be where we're at this evening. So you can turn there, Jeremiah chapter 24. I want to thank you for praying for Mrs. Quinlan. We were able to get her down to Heartland and surprise her. And I posted online picture of the plaque that they will post. They'll post one, or they'll put one like that on their wall of faith. And it's a very beautiful plaque talking about Brother John and his years of service. And then they gave her flowers and stuff. And so it was really great. And we totally surprised her. And she cried a lot. And it was just really good. So, they came to me the night before, Monday night, and Brother Gaddis, president of the college, he said, you know, if you want to, you can go ahead and tell her that all this is going to happen. I'm like, I ain't telling her nothing. We worked too hard to pull this off. And then on the way home, we were visiting, and she said, I wondered why all my family was there. He had, one of his brothers were there, and their kids, and Mindy went down, and so that was cool for her and Richard to be able to be there. And so it's just a really neat service. Really thankful that they did that to honor Brother John and honor Miss Pam, their faithful service to the Lord. It's just a real blessing. But thank you for praying for her through that whole thing. It's real, really, really a blessing. Now, she's not here. She got on a plane this morning and flew to Baltimore. She's going to be up there for about a month with her son that lives up there. Mike and Shalina, Mike's the oldest of the family. He and Shalina, who is Mrs. Metzinger's niece, Ed's daughter, they're in Greece right now, and they'll be coming home in a couple of weeks, so they're all going to meet out there at the other son's house, and so she'll be gone for about a month. Continue to pray for her as she seeks God's will, whether to go back or to stay. You know, it's a hard thing to try to determine, and she really does want to be where God wants her to be. So if you would pray for her, I know she would appreciate it. All right, chapter 24. This is the 11th sermon. The background on this, from where I got my information, said that this sermon was received in a vision, and Jeremiah undoubtedly preached its contents later. Verse number one, the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jehoiachin and the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs. And so there's naughty figs and good figs. It says, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, the very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like those good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eye upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and will build them, and will not pluck down, and I will plant them, and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, They are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord. So I will give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for our time together here in your word. And Lord, we just ask that you would take your word, minister it to our hearts. We'd ask for a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives and our hearts here this evening. Lord, teach us from your word. Help us to be able to gain insight into how we live for you each day of our lives. And Lord, just pray that you would be honored and glorified through all that is said and done here tonight. We love you, and we ask these things in your precious and most holy name. Amen. And so here we have information in verses 2 through 10. After King Jehoiachin has carried off to Babylon, we find the what, if you would, in chapters 24, 2 through 10. The information given in verses 2 through 3, Jeremiah sees two baskets, okay? One filled with fresh figs and the other with rotten ones. And I'm not a fig eater, so I just say they're all rotten. But evidently there's good figs that people like to eat and bad figs that people don't like to eat. And so there's two baskets, one good, one bad. We can liken that many different items in life. And so here's these two baskets. The explanation given in verses 4 through 10 is that the good figs are the Jewish exiles already in Babylon. The ones who, and you know, it's kind of amazing to me. It's the exiles. It's those who have been taken from their land. You would think that, you know, that's a horrible place to be taken out of the land that your ancestors have come from. And yet God is using that as a blessing. And matter of fact, you remember just a chapter before, I believe it was, that it was talked about that the people needed to leave the land, the Jerusalem and the land, and they needed to go to Babylon. And so here, those that have been taken away, those that are exiles already in Babylon, they're the good figs. And God will bless them while they're in captivity. You know, can anybody think of anybody in particular in the Bible who was blessed while he was in Babylon? Of course, it's Daniel, right? Daniel was there. He was in captivity. And of course, then also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in captivity. And God blesses them, even in the midst of this captivity. And, you know, I think we can very easily draw the correlation that we live in a world that's not our home. Amen? This ain't my home. I got a good address. It's not this address. My home is in heaven above. That's where I'm wanting to go. That's where I'm looking forward to going. That's my eternal home. And just so, you know, I'm in exile here upon this earth. And it's difficult. It's not easy. But God has promised that here to the Jews that are exiles, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you in this captivity. And he brought them for their own good. And then he restores them to Jerusalem later on. Verses 6 and 7 talks about that. And they follow him wholeheartedly. And so we live here on this earth. And, you know, it's just not the best. I think we're seeing, like we talk about many times, that we're headed to the last days. The last things are going about. I don't think we're going to live those last days. I think it's just a picture of how bad those last days are really going to be. And some people say, well, you know, I'm a mid-tribber. I think we're already, they will say, I think we're already living in the tribulation. And I'm saying, no, I don't think so. I'm still going to stay pre-trib. I believe that we're out of here before the tribulation period ever starts. But remember that he's going to set the table. It's going to be ready, just everything to fall in place when that Antichrist comes up on the scene. And boy, has the pandemic set everything in place. They've learned how to shut down the world. Right? And now they got people running around going to get vaccines and all these things. It's just kind of this controlling of the people. And there's been talk about having, a world passport and you need to have that. And then they're talking about a world bank, and they're talking about doing away with all the different currencies and coming to one. And it's just kind of setting the stage. Are we going to see it? I don't know. But I know that stage has to be set, because the Antichrist is going to step out, and everybody's going to ooh and awe, and he's going to take over the problems of the world and just become this great help to them. And then there's the second basket, the rotten figs, King Zedekiah and his corrupt leaders, who were destroyed by war, famine, and disease in verses 8 through 10. And, we live in a corrupt society. We live in a corrupt world. And I hate to say that there's even Christians who are corrupted by the cares of this world and the things of this world, and they're missing out on the opportunity to build for themselves, if you would, blessings and sending things on ahead in heaven, because they're more concerned about what they can get here on this earth for themselves, and they're actually living in the rottenness of this earth. Listen, Christian friend, let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's keep our eyes upon the home to come. And so then we come to sermon 12. Don't you wish I preached all my sermons short and sweet like that one? 10 verses long? That would be really, really quick and easy. I was talking about saying a few words about Brother Quinlan, and when we go to the Philippines, I don't know how many times I would get up and preach, and then we'd go back to the house and have refreshments. I don't know how many times he come to me and he said, you know, that was really a nice little sermon tonight, but it needs to be longer. And so the last time I went, I was taking three of my sermons and putting them together. Really, if you don't preach for a minimum of an hour, you're not preaching over there. And so I'd take two and three of my sermons. So when I would be here and preach, you know, through a book of the Bible or through a chapter and spend many weeks developing, I just cram them all together and preach it over in the Philippines. They loved it, you know. I'd go an hour, hour and 15 minutes, my wife's sitting over there all glazed, and she would remind me, now when we get back home, you got to go back to preaching the way you normally preach. But then when Brother Quinlan would get here, I would say, okay, now you're in America, okay, and you got to cut that sermon down. You get 25, 30 minutes, that's it. We don't want no hour and a half long sermons, right? Get an amen? Amen. Yeah, right. You're just as carnal as I am. I get it. I was told by an old preacher many years ago, the mind cannot endure what the seat cannot endure. And so it all works together, amen? So here we are on the 12th sermon, chapter 25, 38 verses long. I'm not going to read it all, but I do want to read some of it as we get going here and thinking about this 12th sermon. The first thing we see is the chronological happening. In verse number 1, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning all the people in Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, and it was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, and this is the 3rd and 20th year, the word of the Lord came unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. So during the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign, this is the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign in Babylon, and during the 23rd year of Jeremiah's ministry. Okay, so Jeremiah's been after it 23 years now. Jehoiakim, it's his fourth year to reign, Nebuchadnezzar's first year. The Lord's been giving Jeremiah messages all this time, these 23 years. And for 23 years, the people have not listened. And I think probably Jeremiah realized that they're probably not going to listen now. He's trying to help them. He's trying to give them the truth. And yet they're burdened down with their cares of the world and those things that are heavy upon their heart. And, you know, it is what it is. That's the way that the Israelites chose to live their life. And so here in verses 4 through 7, we see the contents Jeremiah's declaration, if you will, verse 4, "And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants and prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, Turn ye not again, now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and your fathers forever and ever, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger, that the works of your hands to your own hurt." So Jeremiah's declaration was here. For these two decades, the prophet's been warning the people, repent, repent, repent. There's been, Judah has had this deafness about them. It was kind of falling on deaf ears. They were more interested in the world in which they lived rather than living for God. Well, that has easy application for us today, doesn't it? We're not careful, we can find ourselves living for the world in which we live and not listening and reacting to God speaking to our hearts. Listen, we need to always stay humble before the Lord. Always stay at that point where if God speaks, we want to hear and we should want to respond to his leading. Now we see the cup, and this is verses 8 through 38. Sinners are forced to drink of the terrible cup of God's anger. And so God is promising to bring issues upon them. Verse number 29 says, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. I will bring them against this land, against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation." This is what God's promising to do to his people if they will not repent and turn and back to him. Verse 10 said, "Moreover, I will take away from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the sound of millstones," commerce, economy, food, "and the light of the candle." Boy, that'd be horrible. The darkness, in not only a physical darkness, but I believe a spiritual darkness. "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation." That's quite a contrast. Here we are in chapter 24. He's talking about the people go to Babylon, that he's going to bless them. They're the good figs in the good basket. Now here we get to chapter 25 when we find out those people too have fallen away from God. They too have sin in their life. They're distracted by the cares. Have you ever wondered, as you've read of Daniel, I'm sure that's on your reading list like once a month, right? When you read about Daniel, have you ever wondered, where are the rest of the children of Israel? Why do we just read about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Weren't there others? Sure there were. But they had fallen into the groove. They had fallen into the acceptance. They went along with, if you would, what was expected of them. They didn't want to rock the boat. They didn't want to do anything that made them stand out. And what happened when they stood out? Well, Daniel ended up in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went to the furnace. But what a way to go. I love the way they answered the king. Whether or not God will deliver us, we don't know, but we're not going to bow before you, king. And then the king looks in, there's four walking around. The fourth was like the Son of God. Man, wouldn't that be an awesome thing to encounter? But listen, you don't encounter it by walking with the world, by being taken in by the cares of the world. It's by drawing close to God and desiring to walk with him and live for him. Verse 12, "And it came to pass when 70 years were accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon the land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. And so God is promising, look, you're going to continue to live for yourself, put yourself first, do your own things, and I'll just promise you this, that I'm going to reward you according to your deeds, according to the works of your own hands. Next, we see the cup of the Lord's wrath here in verse number 15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup of the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judea and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing and a curse, as it is this day. And so Jeremiah had this responsibility to take the cup, which is, I believe, figurative for going and preaching the truth of God and making all the nations drink, make all the nations hear so that they might respond. To wit, Jerusalem, verse 18, to wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation and astonishment, a hissing and curse, as it is this day. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants and his princes and all his people and all the mingled people and all the kings of the land of Uz and all the kings of the land of the Philistines and Ashkelon and Hazai and Akron and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom and Moab and the children of Ammon and all the kings of Tyrus and all the kings of Zidon and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, Dedan and Tema and Buz and all that are of the uttermost corners and all the kings of Arabia and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert and all the kings of Zimri and all the kings of Elam and the kings of the Medes and all the kings of the north. So he's basically going to take this to everyone on the earth. He's going to proclaim the truth of the Lord. And he's going to proclaim the judgment of God to come. Verse 27, therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew, and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I send among you. So just go ahead and drink it up. Just live your life. Drink it up, be drunken, and then spew. I don't know about you, I hate to throw up. I hate to spew. I'll do anything in the world to keep from doing that. And yet, you know, that's what God tells them. Just drink up. Just enjoy what you're enjoying. You're going to spew. You're going to fall. You'll rise no more. Verse number 28, and it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin evil on the city, which is called by my name, and shall be utterly unpunished. Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation, and he shall mightily roar upon his habitation, and he shall give a shout, so that they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations, and he will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall raise up from the coasts of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, nor gathered, nor buried. They shall be but dung on the ground. People are going to die. They're just going to leave them. They're just going to walk over them. Howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions and accomplishments. And ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel, and the shepherd shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and the howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord has spoiled their pasture, and the peaceable habitations are cut down because of their fierce anger from the Lord. He hath forsaken his covert as the lion, and their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. So there's a historical cup pictured here, verses 8 through 14. Includes two nations, Judah, the Babylonian monarch Nebuchadnezzar is allowed to destroy their land, enslave the people for 70 years. So Judah is part of that cup. And then Babylon. Babylon's going to come, and they're going to destroy the land of God, enslave its people. After those first 70 years, Babylon's destroyed and enslaved. And it's kind of been a picture like that throughout all of history. Nation rises, nation falls, nation rises, nation falls, nation rises, nation falls. And to be quite honest with you, I've kind of wondered how America has lasted all the years that it's lasted, all the wickedness that we see in our land and all that's going on. And I think we're getting ready for some big, big judgment. Economic judgment and all that it looks like could be on the horizon. I really hope that this is the time that God's going to call us out. Let me ask a question. If it is the time that God's going to call us out, have you told everybody that you've wanted to about how to be saved? If we would go tonight, would there be regret? Man, I always wanted to tell them about Christ, and I was just always too busy, or I was fearful, and I just never talked to them the way I should have about the Lord. It's going to be a horrible thing when we stand in heaven and go, wow, it's just what, I'm just so glad to be here. It's just what I pictured. I only wish so-and-so was here, and so-and-so was here, and so-and-so was here. Now, if we've told them and they refused, there's one thing. But if we've never told them, I think that there's going to be this great emptiness. I think that's why we find that tears are not immediately washed away when we get to heaven. It's going to be a lot of regret. Man, I worked with this guy for 30 years, and I never once invited him to church. I worked with this person here. I live next door to this person here. Or here's a member of my family, and I never took the time. Listen, I know what it's like to talk to family members about the Lord. I never will forget. A few years ago, my older brother was over at my house, and we're in the garage, and he's talking to me. He said, hey, I want to thank you for doing I did a service for my sister-in-law. My brother Bruce's wife's brother had passed away. I did a service for him. And he said, I just want to thank you for doing that service. And I said, well, I said, I wish I would have known him more personally to know for sure that he's in heaven. And I said, Mike, I wonder about you. Are you going to go to heaven? He said, and he immediately said, I know that I'm saved. I got saved on this date. I know I haven't always lived like it, but I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to go to heaven. I said, man, it gives me great peace. Gives me great peace. And we need to care. We ought to be concerned. One of the great things I loved about my father-in-law is I watched him when his brothers to the Lord. I watched him when aunts and uncles to the Lord. I watched him when nephews and nieces to the Lord. He just had this great concern for those around him. I watched him at the time that Ed passed away and died. There was a guy that was a neighbor that came to console my father-in-law, and my father-in-law ended up winning this 80-year-old man to the Lord. He said, I know where my son is, but where will you spend eternity? You see, these will be the important things. The prophetic cup is seen in verses 15 through 38, probably a reference to a nation during the Great Tribulation. The victims in verses 15 through 16, Jeremiah goes to all the kingdoms of the world and gives them the cup of God's anger. And then the victor in 27 through 38, the Lord God Almighty is victorious over all the nations. I can't help but think what it's going to be like when God comes back and establishes his kingdom for 1,000 years and Satan is locked up and then Satan is loose for a little while. And if you would, just all mayhem breaks out upon on this earth. Then Satan is locked up and judged for all of eternity and cast into the lake of fire, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. That's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see death and hell cast into the lake of fire. And then the sad part, the great white throne judgment. All those people that we should have witnessed to, we could have witnessed to, I believe we're going to stand there and watch them go. I wouldn't be surprised. They'll say, why didn't you tell me? You were a Christian. You never shared with me. I wouldn't have had to gone to the lake of fire for all of eternity if you would have just cared enough to tell me. It's going to be a mixed excitement as God comes to finish before the final time that's established in heaven for all of eternity. But we need to be ready. We need to be ready because He could come at any moment. First of all, we need to be ready to know that we're sure that we're saved and on our way to heaven. Second of all, we need to be ready because once we go, we cannot come back and affect people for the cause of Christ. And third, we need to be ready because it's going to be glorious. I want to get to heaven and have very few regrets. I hope you do too. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the fact that we can know heaven's our eternal home. We can know our sins are forgiven. What a joyous thing that is. As we think about these days in which we live, we realize as we study the Word, we see the prophecies concerning the end times that we have to be close. We're definitely closer than we were 10 years ago. And it's definitely looking quite favorable for your return upon the horizon. God, help us to be faithful in living for you. Help us not to be distracted with the cares of this world, to keep our focus upon you, and then help us to be winning souls for you, that we might be able to impact many for the cause of Christ before it's eternally too late. Take this invitation, use it for your honor and your glory. We love you, and we ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Have a moment of invitation. Song number 3, Jesus paid it all. God spoke to your heart. Encourage you to come, whatever you need.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength and day is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. I am made thy all in all. Jesus paid it all to give thy all. Sin had at the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, thou indeed I find thy power in thy alone. Can't change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all.
Prayer guides, if you need one, if you put